This morning, I'm aware this is a really surreal time. It has been for me. This is a time that we don't know what's next. It's a time when we're all at home, but I can speak for myself. I'm working harder and longer hours than I used to, trying to accomplish the same tasks as before. I'm having to learn new technologies, and we're having to have meetings to adapt to this really interesting season in the midst of our country to do ministry differently. So I've been functioning on adrenaline. Many of you have also. But what I've noticed is if I slow down, what I begin to feel in my heart and in my soul is a strong sense of anxiety and of fear and of dread. I'm guessing many of you are feeling the same things. We don't know what's next. We don't know how long this is going to last. And what I realize is what I want most, besides the fact that I want my life back, what I want most is comfort. And I think that explains why I'm having dessert after every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm seeking comfort in any way I can find it. I'm seeking comfort and distraction as I watch things on Netflix or Amazon Prime or movies. But what I find is that those are just distractions. The anxiety and the fear and the dread are still waiting for me. And that brings us to Psalm 23, where we read about the shepherd, the true comforter of his people, and where we can find encouragement for today and for this season. So I invite you in your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 23, or if you have the leaflet printed out, you can look there. But that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Psalm 23 is written by King David. And we read about King David in our reading from 1 Samuel, where he was just a shepherd out in the fields, and he was called out of the fields to be anointed by Samuel. So David was a shepherd before he was a king. And David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. So as David wrote this psalm, and as the nation of Israel has used this psalm for centuries in worship, they know that this was David's highest acclamation of God. It was esteeming of David to refer to God as his shepherd because David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. And David knew what a shepherd did for his sheep. So the beginning of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I can lack nothing." Boy, that's my heart's desire right now. I don't want to lack anything. I want to have my anxiety and fear removed. "The Lord is my shepherd," David declares, "therefore I lack nothing." In verse 2 we read, "He shall feed me in green pastures and lead me forth beside the waters of comfort." And there we hear the shepherd's job, what he's doing. Now, David's audience and the first century church's audience, they would have known what this meant. The shepherd's first job was to tend to the sheep, whether he had 10 or 20 or 50 or hundreds. It was to move the sheep through the barren Judean desert and countryside to give the sheep their two primary needs, food and water. So what do we read there? "He shall feed me in green pastures." I receive that as he will give me the food that I desire, the food that I need in abundance when I need it. "He will lead me forth beside the waters of comfort." He will give me water to quench my thirst, and I will thirst for nothing as a sheep would at a spring. And if I'm overheated, if I'm under duress, I can dip myself in the cool water as a sheep would and be restored. Verse 3, "He shall refresh my soul." He shall restore. He shall bring it back to its fullest. Isn't that what we're crying out for? And this is what the Lord, the shepherd, provides. Verse 3, He shall refresh my soul and bring me forth in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He, the shepherd, will guide me in His ways that are perfect. Verse 4, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's what this time feels like, a shadow of death. Dread. But with the shepherd beside you, with the shepherd in your midst, close by, you need not fear. Because He is with you. That's the comfort that we all want. That's the comfort that we desire. And that's the comfort that the God of the Bible provides and promises. That's the comfort that Jesus promised as He declared, I am the good shepherd. And as Jesus declared, the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He will protect you. He will sustain you. So that's the comfort that we desire. We don't want to long for anything or lack anything. We want the cool water. We want the green pasture. We want toilet paper. We want all of those things that we're longing for, that we're fearful of. Of course, much more significant than toilet paper, but that's significant. That's the comforter that we desire. But you know, there's more to the shepherd. And there are two things that are mentioned in the next verse. One, I like. One, I don't like so much. So we're in verse 4. The second half, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here are the two tools, two of the tools of the shepherd. And the first one, the rod, literally that would be a club. And King David's audience would know that. That was the club with which he could protect the sheep. We want our God, our shepherd, to protect us. And he could. He could bludgeon away the wolves or the lions or any other predator with that rod, with that club. So we want that. But then we come to this staff. And that isn't so nice. Because the staff or the crook, a long stick with a hook in it, that was designed to discipline the sheep. So if you're a sheep in God's flock, He uses that to discipline. And why do sheep need discipline? We think of them as furry, lovable, fluffy creatures that just follow along beside you. But King David's audience would know they are stubborn. They are not bright. They are prone to fall into all kinds of trouble and wander off. They won't follow the shepherd naturally. They have to be taught. And they fall into cliffs and crags and waters where they can drown. That hook is to grab them and to pull them out of their trouble, to steer them back along the shepherd's direction. The shepherd knows where he's going. The sheep want to go their own way. So it's both to save them, but it's to discipline them, sometimes to whack them back into line. Well, that's not so appealing. But that's what God does. When He welcomes you and receives you into His flock, when you become one of His children, one of His sheep through faith in Jesus Christ, many of us aren't born as children of Abraham in the lineage of King David. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're adopted into God's family. We become His sheep. But He doesn't leave us as we are to just go off on our own way. He seeks to change us so that we will stay close to Him and follow Him. We hear a little bit of that correction in our reading from Ephesians. A little bit of that staff of correction. Where in verse 8 of our reading, Paul writes to the early church, "For at one time you were walking in darkness. For at one time you were like that. But now, through faith in Jesus, you've been adopted into God's family. You are one of His sheep. But now, you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, therefore, not as you used to." You see that sense of change. In our flesh, we don't want to change. But this is what God lovingly does for His sheep. In verse 3, He mentions a few things But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you. Let no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. These are all impurities. These are all sin that separate us from God. And Paul says, that's how you were, but now you are one of God's sheep, a member of His kingdom. Walk, therefore, in the light. Be changed. Adjust your life. Your life. That's not so much fun. We may think sexual immorality, oh, that's for those bad people, but that word used there, the Greek word porneia, literally means anything outside of God's ethic, God's plan for sexuality, which is chastity and singleness and fidelity in marriage. Outside of that, it's all sexual immorality, and that makes you impure. But then he mentions covetousness right there alongside it. We covet things. Why do we indulge in sexual immorality? Why do we covet? Well, it's because we're seeking comfort again. We want to be comforted. If I just have that thing, or if I have that desire or that pleasure, I'll be comforted, but it doesn't satisfy. It leaves us longing for more. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, walk in the light as children of the light, were implored by Paul. And this is all because of sin, all because of impurity. And Jesus, in Mark chapter 7, he talked about what makes us impure, what defiles us. And Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come, and he gives a list of things. Come evil thoughts, sexual immorality. There's that word porneia. Theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. We are all laid bare. None of us is without guilt. And yet, through Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. We are restored into God's presence. He corrects us, and as a shepherd, He's with us. So this morning, in the season of Lent, and in this surreal season of anxiety and fear and dread, and this is a season that impacts our youngest of children because their lives have been turned upside down. Our teenagers, because they've lost freedom, they've lost friendships, everything's different. For adults, young and old, we're all dealing with fear, anxiety, and dread. God the shepherd invites you. Come near to me. I will protect you. I will give you what you need. It may not be everything you want. I will give you what you need. Come with the rest of the sheep. Be in a faith family. And that's what we're trying to do through our Zoom conferences and small groups at Church of the Redeemer. I hope you'll join in one of them so that you can be with other sheep close to the shepherd, where He will restore your soul in a way that you won't find comfort in this world, where He will make you right, and also He will fill you with living water that will flow out to those around you. Where do you stand today in relation to the shepherd? Are you wandering off on your own way? I know when I sense God drawing me back in and correcting me, I don't like it. But He trains us that way. In my life, there are a number of things that He's been training me in, and I keep wandering off and He keeps drawing me back in. I know you can relate. What's God perhaps grabbing a hold of you and asking you to consider laying down, to consider stop medicating that way, stop seeking comfort that way? Draw near to the shepherd. He is the source of life. He is the source of all that you need. And He is the source of peace. And may His peace guard your hearts through the Holy Spirit and in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.